Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by Beko.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Former Vice President Mike Pence was back in Washington today.
Former Vice President Mike Pence testified for 7 hours before a grand jury investigating former President Trump's actions before and after the 2020 election.
That's CBS's Nancy Cordes. She tells us Trump tried to stop Pence from testifying, but a federal appeals court rejected his bid yesterday. As for Trump himself, he was back out on the campaign trail today in New Hampshire, taking shots at President Biden.
I'm going to retire the name Crooked so that we can use the name for Joe Biden, because he'll be known from now on as Crooked Joe Biden.
The two could have a 2020 rematch if Trump's poll numbers keep climbing. In Massachusetts, a judge delayed a decision on whether to release Air National Guardsman Jack Teixeira for posting classified military documents online. CBS's Nicole D'Antonio.
Teixeira's lawyers said, quote, he had no idea that it would go beyond this little circle of people on the server. Judge Hennessy interrupted, saying, that's like arguing I pulled the trigger, but I had no intent to kill him. I find it a little incredible that the defendant could not foresee that possibility.
Fed Chair Jerome Powell got punked. CBS's Christopher Cruz tells us some Russian pranksters got him on the phone pretending to be Ukraine's president.
A video recording of the call has been circulating on social media.
A sign of an intensification of the crisis.
You also pointed out that, though, to the average work week, there are some modest signs that the labor market is weakening.
The Fed isn't saying what steps it will take to prevent this from happening again.
Well, if you ever skipped a day of school or work in the 90s, you'll likely caught the Jerry Springer show. Today, CBS's Jared Hill tells us its beloved host died of cancer at 79.
We're getting down and dirty with our next story.
Springer defended his critically reviled program as escapist entertainment and often told people, tongue-in-cheek, that his wish for them was that they may never be on his show.
And another talk show's ending later tonight, The Late Late Show with James Corden. CBS's John Yabakis talked to him about it.
Knowing that the end is near, what are the thoughts? What are the emotions?
It's really hard. It's really hard to compute and take in.
What would you tell yourself 8 years ago when you first started this show?
I'd tell him just to enjoy it and to not ever take for granted that you really are working with some of the best people you'll ever work with in your life.
Corden says he doesn't know what's next, but his last show will be a one-hour farewell special on CBS. This is CBS News.
Clean dishes, clean planet. Save $200 in gift card rebates on eligible Beko dishwashers. Visit Beko.com/US-EN for
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The Mississippi River keeps rising in southwest Wisconsin. Some people are evacuating their homes. The river is swollen because of the rapidly melting snowpack further north. The National Weather Service says the big river should start to fall tomorrow. The river at La Crosse hit close to 16 feet yesterday. It's expected to slowly go down through the weekend. Republican state lawmakers are unveiling their shared revenue plan today. Shared revenue is the money the state sends to local governments. Their plans include a $100 million innovation fund to encourage sharing of services like police and fire protection. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss calls it doing more with less. In sports, the Bucks are out of the playoffs after last night's Game 5 overtime loss to Miami. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Milwaukee. You have to check out Mobcraft Beer, the world's first crowdsourced brewery where they turn your ideas into beer. Stop in their downtown tap room to try flagships, seasonals, limited release crowdsourced brews that you won't find anywhere else, and more. Mobcraft also has a pizza kitchen making craft pies with the freshest ingredients. And enjoy their amazing tap room featuring over 20 constantly rotating draft lines, indoor and outdoor seating on their dog-friendly patio, and a killer view of the Milwaukee skyline. Mobcraft Beer, located in the heart of Walker's Point in Milwaukee. For more info, head to MobcraftBeer.com.
Embroidery Professionals Plus. How may I help you?
I've been tasked with getting some printed t-shirts for an event that is coming. Is that something that you do?
Absolutely. Did you know what kind of tee you wanted?
I do, but my question is, do you have any minimums?
Nope, we don't have minimums, and it sounded like you might qualify for a bulk order discount. To get started, email...
Embroidery Professionals Plus has custom apparel specialists ready to supply your event with printed tees, too. Two Wisconsin locations in Deerfield and Eden. Embroidery Professionals Plus. Apparel you love. Service you crave. Oh, yeah. And home of the Wisconsin Tailgater hoodie.
As a veteran of our country's armed services, you may be experiencing hardships, but we are clear in our mission. No Wisconsin veteran should ever have to face homelessness or lose heat, power, or water again. Apply today by calling 833-WIS-VRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Visit VRAPWI.com.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAU.
You're listening to independent programming that has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. To learn more and to see our entire broadcast lineup, go to civicmedia.us.
What is up, Wisconsin? You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Klavish and Danielle Fairman. I gotta tell you, I am so jacked for Danielle. She is not joining us this week. Now, that sounds a little crazy right off the bat because I'm saying I'm excited for her because she's not joining us. But the reason I'm excited for her is because she is in the turkey blind as we speak. And as I look at my clock, the beauty of the oncoming summer and spring breaking through is that it's light later out. And you get to sit in that blind till I think it's almost like 7:40 right now is shooting time for turkeys. And if you are an afternoon turkey hunter, you know that you get those decoys out there midday when they're roaming around. And those hens they've been following all day long, sometimes they'll ditch them right at the end and look for some new activity. And that is when you may have a chance. Danielle, good luck. I'm sure you're unless you got your, well, maybe you got your AirPods in and you're listening to the show. But I want to thank Danielle for covering for me for the last couple of weeks, too, because I was out on some fantastic hunts doing some stuff for the Outdoor Channel, for The Fowl Life, and for Ted Nugent's show Spirit of the Wild. Got some great cooking segments. Going to talk about that in a little bit. Man, is there any better feeling then driving down the road and seeing those toms strutting in a field? Then you pull over, then you look at the Onyx maps to see if you have permission. And if you do, you got to say, oh gosh, I wonder if anyone else is going to get out there and hunt those before my tag comes up. And, you know, since we've been doing this show, the audience has been growing and the guests have been fantastic. And I'm always amazed. I do believe in divine intervention. I want to be very clear about that. I do believe in divine intervention, and I came back on a flight from Great Britain yesterday and was thinking to myself, and Danielle had sent me a text that I didn't get because I was overseas saying, hey, can you help? Is it okay if I sit in the turkey blind? You do the show. So I called a good friend of mine, Dan Trawicki. You know, I work with him at Safari Club International. And I said, man, I need a guest for the show. Well, just to show you how Dan Trawicki shows up in spades, not only did we get a guest for the show, but we got a national celebrity of a guest for the show, Jeff Engel from Engel's Outdoor Experience, which aired 8 years on the Outdoor Channel. I feel a brotherly love with you.
Absolutely,
already.
Absolutely, of course.
Jeff, welcome to the show. Thank you
Joel,
so much for coming out.
I appreciate being here.
Well, and you know, as we were talking before the show and even in a little bit in our conversations, you and I have unbelievably kind of parallel backgrounds. We both worked for the Outdoor Channel. We have this love for turkey hunting. We've traveled this globe to experience field to table, you know, eating. We're in the fishbowl, by the way, and you're going to hear a siren going by because we're next to a fire department. So they're on their way. I hope everybody ends up all right from that. But Jeff Engel is one of the most experienced outdoors folks I've ever met. He's worked extensively in the outdoor media.
He is a wildlife photographer. He runs Wildlife Photographies, nature and wildlife photo safaris. He's traveled the world, hunted the world, taken some unbelievably professional photographs of animals that have ended up on magazine covers, in magazines. But it's turkey season, Jeff. We got to talk about turkeys. And when people come to me and say, "You're so lucky, Joel, you spend so much time in the turkey blind," it ain't nothing compared to you, is it?
Well, I can tell you, Joel, as much hunting as I've had the fortune of doing, seeing a gobbler strut is one of the ultimate things for me. It's like hearing a bull elk. And I've had the fortune of hunting the World Slam all around the world. But hunting turkeys in Wisconsin, the eastern turkey, is by far the most difficult turkey of any turkey species in the world, and there are six of them.
Yeah, and what you just said in the last 10 seconds could take three shows to explain. You have gotten the World Slam of turkeys. For those who don't know, I mean, because people say Grand Slam of turkeys, they think that's essentially three or four basic turkeys. Yes. There are offshoots of turkeys. Now, I'm going to go from memory, and you tell me what I'm missing. Okay,
I'll check them
Eastern.
Off. Yep.
Rio.
Yes.
Osceola.
Yes.
Goulds.
Yes.
And there's another one in the
starts
United
with the
States.
Miriam's and the
but
jungle
then
bird.
This
is...
bird is my dream. It's on my bucket list, and I got to tell you, I'm scared as hell to go there and hunt it. The oscillated turkey, which looks like some kind of peacock turkey hybrid, and you have hunted that.
I have. It's in the Yucatan Peninsula, and it's an extraordinary hunt, Joel. You live actually in the jungle, and you live in a jungle camp.
These are jungle turkeys.
Jungle turkeys. And the jungle is so thick that your guide is a Mayan Indian. He's about up to your chin. So he takes a machete through the jungle, and he machetes the jungle to his height. So the whole time you're crouched over following him in the jungle,
trying to see below the canopy above you, yet above what he has chopped down in front
exactly.
of him. Just take me through that, because I have to be honest. I travel places to hunt, and I love it. The travel experience to hunt is one of my favorite things in the entire world.
Yes.
But going to Mexico is nothing to mess with. I mean, you literally, you're in the jungles of Mexico where they grow the drugs.
Yes.
They grow the poppies to make the heroin, and you don't know if you're stumbling onto cartel land. I mean, this is stuff like right out of, you know, Better Call Saul or Narco. I mean, this is crazy. I don't know if I have the guts to go to Mexico and hunt an oscillated turkey.
We're picked up at the airport, Joel, and we're driving in a van with four hunters. We're deep in the jungle on a gravel road, and out from the jungle comes a guerrilla soldier with a floppy hat and a camel, and completely surround our little van with M16s facing our vehicle, all high school age kid, teenagers.
And I'm going to guess that they're not completely following all of Tab K when they've
probably
got those
not.
Guns in their hands.
Some exchange happened between the driver and the head soldier, and we were allowed to go. But to have your van surrounded with M16s facing you was a bit chilling, I gotta say.
Yeah, what's going through your mind at that moment?
What is going on? And all I made sure, everybody, I said, don't move your hands, don't move your body, just be perfectly still and let the driver speak. And the driver and the leader were just talking 100 miles an hour.
So at this stage of the game, I'm going to ask the penultimate question. Was it worth it to hunt the oscillated turkey?
100%.
Holy cow.
100%. Because the culture, the people, the Mayan Indians are a wonderful people. And what's interesting, the day we were there, you got there, it was 122 degrees outside.
Oof, no thanks.
Which is just, we melted. One of the guys in camp had a battery-powered fan, and we were offering him $1,000 an hour, just kiddingly, of course, to use it. But what's interesting is, so warm, at night one night it got down to 78 degrees. And around the campfire, the Mayan Indians, we would all sit and talk. It was chilling for a Mayan Indian. In fact, Joel, he had a black turtleneck. The neck, the turtle part, was up to his eyes, and his arms were crossed. He was chilly at 78 degrees.
It really does go to show you, and it's interesting you bring up that point, because it really, you know, people say, those folks of us who are from Wisconsin, the Midwest, we have thicker blood. That's how they say it. But in all reality, the body is so adaptable
yes.
over time that the differences in temperature really make a difference when you're hunting. And I think, and I'm guilty of it, because I am not in the fitness shape that I'd like to be in to be able to hunt, especially in warmer or hotter climates.
Sure.
But that must have been difficult, if not unbearable. Then you got to talk about the bugs. So tell me about the experience of actually hunting an oscillated turkey. And folks, if you don't know what an oscillated turkey is, go to Google, put in oscillated turkey, not to be confused with the Osceola turkey, which is found in a few counties in Florida. The oscillated turkey of Mexico, it is one of the most beautiful specimens of avian culture I've ever seen. It looks like a sea blue peacock in the form of a turkey.
Exactly correct. It looks like a miniature shrunk down peacock. They weigh about 12 pounds.
Okay. So they're smaller than our eastern turkeys,
half
too.
Half as big. A spur in the average oscillated is about an inch and a half.
Oh, geez.
Very big. Long spurs. And when you hunt them, you go out at night, and they don't gobble. They call them singing or croaking. And it sounds like a croak. That's their gobble. And it's impossible to go through the jungle and shoot them, because you can't see 3 feet in front of you.
Sure.
So you shoot them. One of the very few things, you shoot them from the tree roost. That's the only way possible to get them, unless you are in an agricultural area where they have farming. But for most people, the challenge is to go through the jungle and find where they're roosting, listen for them, and walk up to a mile in the jungle. We find them at night, late afternoon, put toilet paper in the jungle path, and then work our way through the jungle till we get to the croaking.
Holy cow.
Now, we're filming for TV, so now not only does there have to be enough light, but the cameraman has to be in position, and as light as it's getting, we're in jeopardy of that bird flying off the roost.
Well, sure.
It's the only bird I've ever shot, ever in my life, off the roost. But that's the accepted, the normal, the practical way to hunt a wild oscillated turkey.
Now, do they have a pattern anywhere similar to American turkeys, where they'll get off the roost and make their way to a feeding spot, a corner of a field, or any of the agricultural spots?
There are some spots where people farm. We didn't hunt those areas. We hunted the literal jungle. And they have no pattern, because they freelance throughout the entire jungle. And it literally is so thick, you cannot walk in a straight line for more than 1 or 2 feet. So it's interesting.
And I got to imagine, you know, if you're going to go to Mexico, into the Yucatan, and you're going to have this experience of hunting an oscillated turkey, you might as well have the real authentic experience.
I agree. It's the authentic, the original way of doing it. And it's an extraordinary bird. But filming for TV was really a challenge, but we got it done, and it was an interesting, dynamic show. But it was very interesting. We have refried beans 3 times a day. Your housing is a little chalet with no sides to it, and around your cot is like cheesecloth for the insects.
Ugh.
So it's really an experience hunt, as well as getting an interesting
animal. That sounds
animal.
Like the show Survivor or Naked and Afraid more than it does a hunt, tell you that.
I've got to tell you one story. After I got my...
You got to save that story, because like I promised you before, this hour goes so fast.
Yeah.
And we're already up against the first break. But we're here with Jeff Engel from Engel's Outdoor Experience, 8 years on the Outdoor Channel, professional wildlife photographer, runs photo safaris, been all around the world hunting. Fantastic, fascinating man. And I can feel a brotherhood. I'm telling you, folks, you're listening to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM WAUK. 101 FM. We'll be right back after this break with more Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman and our guest, Jeff Engel. We'll see you in a minute.
Oh, Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
High pay with excellent benefits? Check. Fair treatment and safe work conditions? Check. A paid training program? Check. Check all of your career boxes with the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades of District Council 7. Experienced industrial painters and drywall finishers needed now or become an apprentice. Call Tom Coyne at 262-488-4839 today. 262-488-4839 or go to IUPATDC7.com.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Weather brought to you by Freshfin, bringing you a fresh and healthy fast casual experience. Seafood, chicken, pork, or tofu, the bowl options at Freshfin are endless. Check them out at the corners of Brookfield, Bayshore Mall, East Side, and Third Ward, or online at freshfin.com.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy tonight with lows around 40. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. A mix of clouds and sun again tomorrow, highs around 61. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 41. Mid-50s Saturday, with a chance for scattered showers. Much cooler Sunday, with highs in the mid-40s, showers continue. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 57 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
I was up before the dawn. And I really had
Man, gotta love those 80s grooves. We're going to have a little Sticks coming on later, too. I can feel it. Anastasia, how are you doing in there?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you,
yeah,
Joel?
Yeah, we got some jams rolling.
I do.
Thanks to suggestions from our guest, Jeff Engel. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Raised in Wisco, 540 AM, WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw. Our guest today is Jeff Engel. Star, host, executive producer, wildlife, wild adventurer, extraordinaire, Jeff Engel. And I just want to tell you, it is awesome to have you. You have had some pretty outstanding life experiences. I say this almost every week. Life is about experiences, not things, isn't it, Jeff?
100%. And I really appreciate being here, Joel. I find that in hunting trips, experiences, that's what makes a hunting trip. Camaraderie, friendship, close relationships. I've got one story about our Yucatan hunt.
Yeah, let's hear it.
After I got my bird, there were several high school age young men in the group or in the village. And I start talking to them. And an interpreter said, the two boy high school boys want to take you in the jungle for lunch. I said, what does that mean? He said, just go with them.
Snails and snakes, maybe.
So we walked along a path in the deep jungle, and they would grab a fruit off of a tree and eat it. They would grab another fruit. They would take leaves, and they ate a buffet lunch walking through the jungle.
Wow.
Then we got to a little pool of water that was quite dark, and they both kneeled down and drank water from it. So that was their lunchtime, by taking a walk through the jungle. And the experience of seeing how these young people lived and how they value life was extraordinary.
I think so often in this world, we get into a rut, you know, in what you might call civilized society. We get into a rut. We have our lunch spots, our restaurants, or if we take a bag lunch with us, it's often the same thing over and over. And what happens is we end up getting a little resentful or frustrated with the life we're living because it's almost on a negotiated timeline. And I think pressing the yes button in life is the difference between having a life fulfilled and a life regretted. And when you press the yes button and you go to the Yucatan of Mexico to hunt oscillated turkey, or you fly to Europe to hunt, I've got some friends right now, John Miller and Ben Laskowski. They're in the furthest reaches of Russia hunting brown bear in 16 feet of snow. When you press the yes button, you will not be on your deathbed saying, I'm glad I didn't do it. And by you seeing that experience with those kids out there and realizing that life isn't always about going to the KFC or the McDonald's, sometimes what is needed to be a provider, to live that lifestyle, field to table, is right in front of you. And I also think that too often we take for granted that that exists right here in the great state of Wisconsin, right outside our own outdoors. I don't care if you live in a big city in this state or if you live in a town, you're always within 20 minutes of being in the country and getting out there and foraging and harvesting, and there's nothing on earth more satisfying, is there?
I love your philosophy, Joel. What you're saying, I wish that could be written in a Facebook post for the world to see. It's that good. Let me give you an example. I was getting a haircut recently, and I'm sitting in the chair waiting, and a young man sat right next to me, maybe 12 years old, with his mother. And I'm looking through pictures on my phone, and he saw a zebra. He said, I like your zebra picture. I said, do you know where zebras live? He said, I sure do know where zebras live. In a zoo. That was his literal answer, in a zoo.
Yeah.
So if we can engage young people, maybe not to have so much electronics in their life, but to see a wild turkey or to see a beautiful duck, there's so many things in the world in nature that I wish more people could be exposed to.
You just hit the nail on the head, and this is something I talk about so often. You know that 3-inch by 7-inch thing that so many people end up staring into for 10, 15 hours a day.
Yes.
That is not reality. That's two dimensions of non-reality. And the truth of the matter is, we live in one of the greatest states in the nation.
Truly.
For wildlife. We are able, and you look at somebody, clearly, very clearly, I like to eat. I tell people food's my favorite
good,
dish.
Good.
And somebody who doesn't hunt or fish or experience the outdoors in this state or others or in life in general is missing out on the whole circle of life. You're a wildlife professional photographer. You're a videographer. You're a hunter. You get to go out there and harvest by your own hands the food you're going to put on the table to nourish your family. You eliminate the grocery store. You eliminate processed food. You also understand the responsibility and the integrity of taking a life to supply it for someone else.
Truly.
And beyond that, Jeff, you are an example of someone who does not need a gun in your hand, because you shoot as many animals with a camera, if not more, than you do ever with a gun.
I do. In fact, as time goes on, Joel, I'm spending more and more time with a camera. To me, a challenge is really getting that duck in focus for a calendar shot, getting that white-tailed deer in the early morning light, getting a calendar shot. I was in a turkey blind yesterday morning, and the sun was coming up over a picked cornfield, and three deer came in. I got that shot with a camera, and that was magic to me. That was as much as anything to get that shot with a camera.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, getting the video of the animals is as exciting as hunting them yourself, and I'll put another thing in that category. Taking a new hunter.
Yes.
You know, we got the Kennedy clan listening to us, our friends out. I always say I've got 5 loyal listeners, my Kennedy family out in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin.
Okay.
I took their son on his first hunt ever in his life. He harvested a turkey in the fall, last fall. They ate that turkey. Now they have a new realization of what it means to get out there and put food on the table.
Perfect.
And I get as excited. I forget it. I get twice as excited taking someone and watching them harvest their first animal, or watching their eyes light up when a deer or a turkey or a rabbit or a squirrel or a groundhog or a beaver or a badger pops into the side of the field.
Sure.
As I do harvesting it myself. And we got to go to break already, folks. When we come back, we're going to talk about something that's being seen in Wisconsin that is never seen here. And, of course, Jeff's already got photographs of it. That's going to be exciting. Stick around. You're listening to Raised in Wisco on WAUK.
Sweet
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. CBS News confirms that former Vice President Mike Pence was back in Washington today, and Nancy Cordes explains why.
Former Vice President Mike Pence testified for 7 hours before a grand jury investigating former President Trump's actions before and after the 2020 election.
A judge puts off a decision whether the Massachusetts Air National Guardsman accused of leaking highly classified military documents should be held in jail until his trial. CBS's Nicole Scango with more on Jack Texera.
DOJ lawyers claim he destroyed evidence, including a laptop and game console, and posted in a chat group a note to delete all my messages.
Former daytime talk show host Jerry Springer has died of cancer at a suburban Chicago home, according to his family. Once asked about the Jerry Springer show, he replied,
"Yes, it's a stupid show. I always say our show is stupid. But it, for 1 hour, it's an escape from regular life."
Springer was 79. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
4 Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinair. Here's what you need to know. A bipartisan bill in the Wisconsin legislature would make it easier for people to recover legal fees if they sue a government agency for access to public records. Last summer, the state Supreme Court ruled that legal fees could only be recovered if the suit resulted in a court judgment, but not if the documents were released voluntarily during the process. The proposal allows the recovery of fees even without a final court order. Many Wisconsin families continue struggling to make ends meet. WSAW-TV says a report from the United Way of Marathon County finds more than one-third of Wisconsinites are having a tough time affording housing, food, transportation, childcare, and internet access. The majority are employed full-time and living above the federal poverty level, but below Wisconsin's basic cost of living. I'm Jane Matinair. This is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
Milwaukee, you have to check out Mob Craft Beer, the world's first crowdsourced brewery where they turn your ideas into beer. Stop in their downtown tap room to try flagships, seasonals, limited release crowdsourced brews that you won't find anywhere else, and more. Mob Craft also has a pizza kitchen making craft pies with the freshest ingredients. And enjoy their amazing tap room featuring over 20 constantly rotating draft lines, indoor and outdoor seating on their dog-friendly patio, and a killer view of the Milwaukee skyline. Mob Craft Beer, located in the heart of Walker's Point in Milwaukee. For more info, head to mobcraftbeer.com.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Yes, he's a jet fuel genius, Tommy Shaw of Styx, singing one of my favorite songs of all time, Too Much Time on My Hands. I would like to get a hold of that guy. I'd like to get a hold of anybody who thinks they've got too much time on their hands, because my theory in life is I ain't got enough time. I ain't got enough time to fit it all in, Jeff Engel. Jeff Engel is joining us from Engel's Outdoor Experience, 8 years on the Outdoor Channel. This, you want to talk about a guy who probably does not have a lot of time on his hands. Jeff Engel spends a ton of his time
in the outdoors. He's a professional outdoor photographer. He runs photo and video safaris. He's hunted around the world. He's spent hundreds of hours already in the turkey blind. He's got the Turkey World Slam. We just heard an unbelievable story about an oscillated turkey hunt in Mexico. And I want to bring this. And first of all, let me say, you've already harvested turkeys during this turkey season, haven't you?
I had one tag so far for the second period, which is right now. Yesterday, Wednesday, was the opening morning, and I was blessed with a bird at 7:15.
Tell me your spread. I want to hear it.
I use a variety of spreads. A single hen decoy is popular. A hen and a jake. Many of my friends use full strut decoys with real tails.
Yep.
They've had good luck with that. So there's no real formula that I found that works. It just kind of try different things.
The most predictable thing about turkeys is that they're unpredictable.
Yes.
And right when you think you have them patterned, they will mess with you. And people say, well, come on, turkeys aren't smart. And I say this, turkeys may not be smart, but they're one of the most instinctive animals I've ever hunted.
Absolutely.
They may not be intelligent. They may have pea-sized brains, but they are more instinctive in many cases than any other species out there.
They are so aware of their surroundings.
They're unbelievably aware.
They catch any bit of movement. How many people have been bow hunting in a tree stand 15 feet high, perfectly still, and the bird looks up, spots them, and runs away?
Happens all the time.
All the time.
And you know what? I do the hybrid kind of in the middle. I know a lot of my friends will run that full strut tom. And I think what happens then is you may have dominant toms that'll come to that. But
yes.
But very often during the turkey hunting season, even when you're trying to get a tom, I don't think it makes sense to only target dominant toms, because those secondary toms or less dominant toms, they could still weigh more and have longer beards and longer spurs and be older.
Absolutely.
So I like to run a quarter strut jake, and I've got my own fan I put on an old yard sign post.
Okay.
And I angle it real low. Like, you know those jakes that can't quite get their fan all the way up? And
sure.
So I'll run it somewhere in the middle. That way you could have jakes on your decoy, toms, dominant toms, subdominant toms. So I kind of run a hybrid, but then I hunt, not many people do this, but I want to get your take on it, since you probably are one of the only people I've ever met who's literally spending more time in the turkey woods than I am. I run a dominant hen ahead of that three-quarter strut jake, and I'll tell you why I do that. You know how many times I've killed a tom because it's merely been following around a hen?
Exactly.
And those hens can get just as angry as a gobbler can get at a decoy. They'll get angry at a dominant hen who's in their area. When they come in, if they pull that tom in tow, then you're going to get a shot at him. A lot of people will run the submissive hen ahead of the jake. I run the dominant hen, and I put them far enough apart that the toms can go to the jake or the hen can go to the upright hen.
Good plan.
What's your theory on that?
That's a great theory, and it oftentimes works. In fact, I got a bird yesterday I mentioned, so I'm in a turkey blind literally every morning. The last 3 weeks I've been living in a turkey blind doing photography for magazines. But right now in my geographic area in Waukesha County, a lot of the hens are laying on eggs. So midday, there are very few hens around, again, in my geographic area. So the gobblers are really walking around looking for hens and gobbling.
You know how many people give up at 8:30, 9 o'clock, and they head in to eat lunch? That midday can be absolutely killer for turkey hunting. Don't be afraid of midday.
I hunt all day long, and I photograph only the morning and the afternoon, because for a nature photographer, light is our life.
Right.
We have to have the right light, the diffused light, and the better the light, the better the photograph. This morning was a magical morning. It was a great sunrise. I was fortunate to have some gobblers right in front of me. I called them in. So it was a great, great morning. But throughout the morning, you would see them walking around frequently.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What's your go-to? You diaphragm call, slate call, box call, combo?
I like them all. I like the finesse of a slate call. It is fun. You can use different volumes, different purrs. A box call, to me, is one of the most realistic calls. If you go with a friend and have them stand 100 yards away and use a variety of calls, usually a box call will be, he'll say, that's the most accurate one.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that. I think What is fun to me, though, is the up-close purring on the diaphragm call.
Yes.
And keeping the attention of something that may be hung up and you want it to come that last few feet. And, of course, I've probably screwed it up as many times. I've let a little cluck out or something that sounded just a hair too much like a warning putt and they're gone. And so exactly. I messed myself up that way, too. What is your favorite? What do you prefer in your hand, a gun or a camera?
Well, that is an outstanding question. I've been fortunate to be pretty successful in turkeys throughout the years. In fact, I was with my father the very first turkey hunting season in the Sand Hill Wildlife Refuge many, many years ago.
Cool.
And I was actually involved physically in helping release birds in the town of Eagle when they were first.
Do you remember what year that was?
I'm sure one of your viewers will know exactly, or listeners will know exactly. 80s? We traded three rough grouse from Missouri, from Wisconsin, for one Missouri turkey. That was a trade-off. So it was fun to actually be at the box opening of having the birds leave.
Isn't that
so? I've
something.
Had a pretty good history with turkeys. And getting a photograph of a turkey, to me, is 100 times more difficult to get a calendar, magazine cover photo with the right light, the right expression, the right nonverbal, the right everything is a challenging aspect. And I find that challenge to be very exciting. It's great to shoot one, and I got one yesterday. But I have to tell you, Joel, when that bird came in the sunlight, my first reaction was, I wish I had my camera. Because it would have been a cover shot. But I was hunting. So it's an interesting balance between harvesting, taking a life, and eating it, and taking a photograph. And I'm kind of in a balance in life where a camera to me is very important. And again, the challenge of getting a perfect calendar shot is really getting more and more important for me.
And you know what the beauty of having a camera in your hand? There's no season. You can do that
exactly.
Any day of the year with a camera in your
Good
hand.
Good point.
That's for sure. I want to talk for a moment. I want to switch this up into something that is going, that's actually been on media outlets throughout the state right now. And it's super exciting to me as a waterfowl hunter. And that is that we have somehow got a mandarin duck running around Wisconsin, and by running around I mean flying around, but he's been in some inland lakes, he's been in Lake Michigan, and folks, you're not even going to believe it for a second, but Jeff Engel has gotten on this bird more than once. He's gotten several shots of this mandarin duck, and I'm not sure there's any species, any example of waterfowl as absolutely stunning and unique as the mandarin duck. And if you don't know what it looks like, put it in a Google search. And Jeff, you've gotten pictures of it.
I have. I first heard about the mandarin duck on the internet at the Milwaukee Lakeshore area.
Did you buy it? When you first saw it, did you think, oh, this is phony baloney?
Well, I went there one time and it wasn't there. I went a second time and it wasn't there. But then I went 25 more times and it was there. I spent maybe 100 hours physically photographing that mandarin duck because I find it fascinating. He is the most beautiful duck I've ever seen in my life. He has a tremendous personality, and to get a flying shot or the perfect shot is really a challenge. It's amazing how beautiful he is.
Do you have any theories on how the heck he got here?
They're from Asia.
Right.
With a small population in Southern California, it's unlikely that he flew across the ocean. It's unlikely that he was on a ship as a stowaway and came across. So he's probably from a game farm or a pet collection or a zoo. But he flies like a wild duck.
Yeah.
He eats with the wild ducks. He looks and acts like a wild duck. He fits right in. In fact, he even has a hen mallard as a girlfriend.
Are you kidding me?
And it's so funny. She could care less about him.
Now, you say that, but you say that. You say it's very unlikely, and I agree with you. It's very unlikely. But I'll tell you, even in the waterfowl hunting I've done, some of the bands that you get, the distances that they are, Nova Scotia, and some of the bizarre, you can't believe for one minute that, you know, when you eat a duck or a goose, you take that breast meat off, that's solid muscle. Those suckers are flying hundreds, thousands of miles. So I like to live in my brain. There's some potential for the reality that this thing actually flew here from Asia, made some stops, might have got a little off course, and now we've got a legit Mandarin duck in Wisconsin.
We can go with that. It's absolutely stunning. An interesting story is, while I'm photographing the Mandarin duck, there were two geese that I see quite often. One of the geese or goose, the goose has a band on its leg. So I got my big telephoto lens and made a big circle around the goose photographing the band to try to get all the numbers.
Oh, how cool is
that? So I actually pieced it together. You can go on the internet and get a type that number in, and I learned right away that the duck, the goose was banded in Thunder Bay, Ontario, July of 2020. And he's wintering right here in Milwaukee.
And think about that. Think about how far away that is. Just, I mean, that goose, which was very likely, you know, summering in Thunder Bay, Ontario. And now he's wintering here. He's not making, you know, he's not flying all the way down to Arkansas or to Texas. He's staying right here in Wisconsin. What? And that brings up a good question. I've seen it just in the 15 years I've been a hunter. I've seen a change in the patterns and distances that waterfowl is going over the course of the migration. What do you attribute that
to? Well, when I was a young boy, I remember to see a goose in the wintertime was rare.
Very rare.
You wouldn't see a Canadian goose. And it seems like winters are getting easier, more mild, and now geese are commonplace. But I remember vividly not seeing a goose all winter long.
And I think the population has improved, and that isn't due to the conservation efforts of outdoorsmen. You know, a great deal of what we spend on outdoor activities goes to the Pittman-Robertson Fund, which is very specifically set up to reinvigorate wildlife, work on wetlands, work on conservation efforts. And I think that that is a tribute. And again, when you talk about the anti-hunter, I think to myself, anti-hunter is just not necessarily a completely informed person.
Perhaps.
Because anybody who wants to see the proliferation of a species, the expansion of a species to healthy levels, which is a balance on both sides. As soon as a population gets too large, it introduces disease. And so those populations need to be kept in check. As human beings expand their footprint, we're moving into their territory. Yes. And the only fair way to do that is make sure the numbers are sustainable. You know, I was fortunate enough to lead author the bill to allow archery hunting of deer in every municipality, only, you know, in a safe way. Never in the state of Wisconsin have we ever had an archery hunting accident in this state. I'm knocking on wood to make sure, hopefully, that never does happen. But I think a lot of times people distort, or at least don't understand or look at, the value that the conservation hunter has in the proliferation of species.
Well said. I think you're absolutely correct. And I do find that hunters, they love animals. And oftentimes, as we talked about a minute ago, the harvest of an animal can be bittersweet almost.
No question.
But we all love seeing animals. Who doesn't love seeing a red fox
Absolutely.
Go across the road?
And what happens to hunting if the species disappears? There is no hunting. So it's in our very nature to want to proliferate that and for that to continue. When we come back from break, Jeff Engel from Engel's Outdoor Experience is with us. We're going to wrap this puppy up. What a great show. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco on WAUK.
If you're grilling this weekend, be sure to have plenty of artisan hearth buns and rolls on hand. Fancy equipment and secret sauces are great, but once you've mastered the basics, it's all about the bun. Your perfectly grilled burgers and hot dogs deserve the best, and with several varieties to choose from, including Wisconsin brat buns, gourmet brioche, French, and onion rolls, the bakers of Artisan Hearth have the buns and rolls your family will love. Artisan Hearth, locally baked, delivered fresh daily.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Weather brought to you by Taqueria Miyagi, Waukesha's authentic Mexican food truck, which is now open and ready to serve you. Find us at 1610 Lincoln Avenue in the BP gas station parking lot or call us at 262-278-6590.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 40. East winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 61. Lows dip down to about 41. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies. Mid-50s Saturday with a chance for scattered rain showers. Turning much cooler Sunday with highs in the mid-40s. Showers continue. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 57 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman is wrapping up her turkey hunt for the afternoon. That's why she's not joining us today. And gosh darn it, who can blame her? One of the coolest things about being on the air on this show and talking about wildlife and hunting and fishing in the outdoors in the great state of Wisconsin is, like, during the show, friends of mine, hunter friends, are sending me texts of the turkeys they're harvesting or, you know, whatever geese or ducks they shot or the big buck they shot, and I say, I'm on the air, for God's sake. Oh, that's right. Then they listen, and then I give them a shout out. So, man, John Whitmore, all my hunting buddies know him as Woody. He is the guy who loads his own shells, helped set me up with my grandfather's gun to shoot a turkey first period, which I didn't even get a chance. Didn't even get a chance to talk about my trip to England. Just got back last night hunting muntjac and roe deer. Had a fantastic time with Mark Broadhurst from Warwickshire Roebucks out in Great Britain. Just a wonderful trip. One of the most delicious venisons I've ever tasted in my life, and I'm going to share that recipe with you next week. But this week, we've got Jeff Engel with us from Engel's Outdoor Experience, and what an experienced life this guy has had. I mean, if you've been listening to the show, you got to say to yourself, that is one lucky guy. But I'm here to tell you, this guy's making the fortune of his life for himself. It is not an easy grind to be out there shooting video, shooting animals, and doing camera work that ends up on the covers of magazines and in calendars. You can check out his work at Jeff Engel Outdoors. That's J-E-F-F-E-N-G-E-L Outdoors on Instagram. Jeff, you've been a fantastic guest so far. And did you, when I said this will be the fastest hour of your life, did you believe me? Do you believe me now?
I do believe. I'm a believer, Joel.
And, you know, you've had a life experience of hunting animals. And now, you know, I'm not going to say now that you're older, because you look to be a young man about my age. And, I mean, it's tough to fit. Let me just tell you, folks, you can't see on radio, but it is difficult to fit this much handsomeness in one room. That's all I'm going to say. All right. Okay, boy, now Anastasia's really laughing behind the glass in there. I want to talk to you about your photo safaris for a minute. So not only do you enjoy hunting, but you have gotten to the point now that
when you're hunting, sometimes you're thinking, I wish I had a camera in my hand.
Yes.
But part of your life experience and part of what you bring to the table now is sharing that joy with others, the joy of photo safaris. Because I think when you talk to a hunter about safari, they think, how many animals am I going to be able to shoot? Am I going to have a dead zebra in a picture or something like that? But you actually go out there and arrange, organize, take people on photo safaris.
I do, Joel. I've had the opportunity to hunt Botswana, Okavango Delta, Namibia, and South Africa. And after 8 years on the air, I still loved Africa. So I got together with an outfitter over there, and we said, how about doing a photo safari? About 10 years ago, we started this. So I coordinate, organize, orchestrate, and guide amazing photographic safaris to the northeast part of South Africa. We take small groups from 5 to 8 to 9 people, and it's a trip of a lifetime for almost anybody. In fact, one of our people going again this year is going for the third time.
Sheesh.
And we have the experiences of some of the world-class sunrise and sunsets, leopards, lions, giraffes, zebras, the culture, the cuisine. It's a true experience, and just being embossed in the Africa culture is exciting. But to drive down gravel roads and see a leopard over here or a lion or a giraffe is extraordinary. And the idea of getting photographs, one of our people that came along said, Jeff, do you think I can get enough good photographs to make one calendar? And I simply calmly said, yes, I'm sure we can do that. He got enough quality photographs, calendar, for 5 years of calendars.
Oh, my gosh.
But
how amazing.
The plethora of animals is amazing. The birds, the exotic birds. As you drive along, you see so many wonderful and interesting, colorful, beautiful animals.
How does somebody get a hold of you if that's something they're interested in doing?
My email is jeff@jeffengeloutdoors.com. So jeff@jeffengeloutdoors.com.
And of course, check out his Instagram @jeffengeloutdoors. Make sure you like it. Make sure you tell him he did an awesome job on WAUK Raised in Wisco. I'm going to ask you some questions you may not get when you talk about the photo safaris.
Okay.
The first question I have is, do you get any folks on the photo safari who kind of lean over and whisper into your ear and say, gosh, I wish I had a gun with me right now?
Not very often. Because most people who go on this trip are dedicated photo people.
Ah.
Although, by the same token, Joel, about a third of our guests, clients, have a simple iPhone or a cell phone as their complete camera package. And we cater everything from the cell phone user to the professional with a big 600 millimeter. But usually people who are going there are so enthralled with the variety of animals, they just want to absorb everything.
Yeah, and contradictory to that also, I go to Africa to hunt. In fact, I'll be leaving in less than a month for my 52nd birthday, or at least that's the excuse I'm using with my wife.
Happy
this
birthday,
year.
Then.
That I'm going back to Africa. It will be my third trip to South Africa. We hunt the Eastern Cape of South Africa.
Beautiful area.
And I have to tell you, it's my third. So the first trip as a hunter, now this is from a hunter's perspective, and I understand there is crossover between the photo safari folks and the hunting folks, like there's crossover in all walks of life. But when I head to South Africa, the first time you go, if you're going and you want to put some beautiful mounts on the wall and eat some of the unbelievably delicious game while you're there, it's fantastic. And I want to point out that this industry in South Africa not only helps feed the locals and the tribes that are there, but you get to eat the animals while you're there, and you know me, and that's the food is just as important as the hide. And then the second trip I went, and half the time I was there, I forgot I had a gun around my shoulder.
Really?
I forgot. I mean, you'll see the gray ghost, the kudu, walking through and disappear and reappear in front of your very eyes, and all you care to do is experience that moment so very often. And there are times where I forget I'm on a hunt. And I am just there absorbing the beauty of what God has created and allowed you to be a part of in Africa. And I have to tell you, those sunrises and sunsets, if they do not change you, you don't have a beating heart and blood is not coursing through your veins. And a man who understands how the outdoors can change, enrich, and enhance your life. Jeff Engel has been our guest on this edition of Raised in Wisco. I hope you got a turkey, Danielle. What a fantastic show it's been. What a joy it's been talking to you, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Joel, it's been a pleasure, absolute pleasure to be here. I love your philosophies.
You're going to be a repeat guest, that I can tell you.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. You're listening to 540 AM WAUK.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM W.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.